Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we thank Him for the grace. You know, one of the things that we keep learning about the Word of God is that it just takes a consistent approach. Take it day by day, chapter by chapter, you know, paragraph by paragraph. And as you understand, you are basically beholding the glory of God. The Word of God is life. The Word of God is Christ. The Word of God is God Himself. And each and every time we open the Scriptures, He ministers to us. We see Him. And as we see Him, we have every right to receive from who He is, and we are transformed into the very same image that He is. So being at the feet of Jesus is one of the greatest things and lessons and blessings that we have, and for that we are encouraged. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll be picking up from verse 12. Yesterday we were able to see the attitude or the heart in which we must have in order to restore fallen believers, in that we must have the heart of God. We must have a heart that loves, a heart that is not desiring that one be excommunicated. Yes, we appreciate the need for discipline, but we also must see that the discipline should not be done from a heart of anger. Paul did not have a heart of anger, but Paul had a heart of anguish and deep affliction and tears as he wrote to them to pass judgment on the offender, which the Corinthian church did. And they were able to establish that, and he tells them to now go and restore the fallen believer. So verse 12, the Bible says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find my Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." Now, one of the things, just to take a pause on that, Paul always desired to preach in new places. And, you know, when he went to Troas, he found that a door was opened for him to preach, and he started to preach. But he says he had no rest in his spirit because he did not find Titus, his brother. And so he left them and went for Macedonia. Now, Titus and Timothy are some of the two people that Paul closely worked with. I mean, there are others. There's Epaphroditus. But Titus is and Timothy are like two young men or two young pastors who Paul was mentoring. And even he is able to even write them letters. He writes a letter to Titus. You know, eventually he sends him to Crete, where he establishes the work. So these are two pastoral books, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, pastoral books that give a lot of guidance on establishing of ministries and how leadership and ministry should be done. So you can see that his spirit was disturbed, that he did not have rest in his spirit because he did not find Titus, and he decided to go and look for him. And in a way, he also says that, and what we see from verse 14, it was a way of God leading him. You know, God leads us in various ways. He could speak to us. He could, you know, give us knowledge or understanding of something that needs to be done. And that's a way of God leading. He could speak audibly. He could visit us in dreams. He could show us visions. But also, there's some of the ways where he just does not give your spirit rest. And this is what the thing that Paul establishes here. He says, verse 14, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Now, what he says is that by that distress, he was able to be led by the Spirit of God, by God. But he also brings in another point, that God always leads us in triumphant procession. You see, in those times when a king conquered another kingdom and captives were taken, they will come back, you know, marching with songs of victory, with trumpets, declaring they have won, carrying on the captives, and, you know, it will just be a victory march. Now, he's saying, through Christ, God is always leading us in a victorious march against the devil. Who did he defeat? He defeated the devil, the forces of darkness, and we have been seeing that. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphant procession. And through us, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. What is fragrance? Fragrance is like an aroma. It's like a perfume. Eh? So God, as he leads us through Christ in victory, that means continually we are being led in victory, no matter the method that God uses to lead us. As we are led through victory, the Bible is telling us that he diffuses the fragrance, the smell, the perfume of his knowledge in every place. God uses us to spread his knowledge, to spread his fragrance of knowledge in every place. But you see, this fragrance has two effects. Now, and that's what we read verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. And among those who are perishing, to one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. To the other, we are the aroma of life, leading to life. Or you can read it, to one we are the perfume of death, leading to death. To another, we are the perfume of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Now, Paul is trying to say that whenever we spread the gospel, even our lives, constantly we are being led by God, we are being led by Christ. Remember, he had previously told them that when he told them that he will visit them, it was not that he lied to them. He did not just make his promises with double speak, saying yes and no at the same time. No, God did not allow him, but he says that he leads, he reasons, he does it in sincerity of heart. And so when he says that to one, as we spread out this perfume of God, in one side we are reminding them of death in that they have refused, those that have rejected the gospel, each time they see a believer, it angers them. In fact, it's an aroma of death, because it tells them there is a judgment that is coming. They have rejected to hear the truth. And because they have not heard the truth, the Bible says it is appointed once for man to die and then judgment. We only have this chance on this earth, while we're still alive, to make a choice for the gospel. So anyone that comes to the encounter us must know they have a choice. Do they accept life or death? If they refuse, then they have accepted the smell of death. But if they accept, then they have accepted the life-giving perfume. And this is what you and I carry, we that have believed. And if you want to believe, then you too can carry the fragrance of the knowledge of God. That is a sweet-smelling perfume of the knowledge of God. And he's saying, look here, if we are to check who is sufficient, I mean, who is able in all this, it is not of our own self. Our sufficiency is not ourselves. And he says that we are not those who just preach for profit. You know, there are many people who are preaching for profit. To them, it's a business. But Paul is saying, I am a sincere person, and we speak from a sincerity of heart, and God is our witness. God is our witness. Let's just move on to chapter 3. The Bible says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation for you, from you? You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, and that is of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He's trying to answer a question of where does our sufficiency come from? Where do we, you know, where do we get this authority that we have? In fact, some people, when they're going to preach, they need letters of recommendation. Oh, send us, oh, this is from the church and all that. But he's trying to say, look here, even if we are writing to you, you know clearly that we don't need written letters. If it is about commendation, you yourselves are the evidence of our ministry. You know clearly that by you standing in the faith, we preach to you the gospel as it is, and the letters we wrote are what we wrote in your hearts and in your spirits. We didn't write on paper, but we wrote on the tablets of your heart. And because the law of God, the knowledge of God by our preaching to us, by our ministry to you, was written in your hearts, you can clearly know that you are read, you are written, you are known and read by all men. That means that there is a place in the Spirit where each of us can be written, can be read and known by all men. Have you ever met someone and even before they speak, you already connect to them spiritually? You already can tell that this person has something of the Spirit to offer me. That is because he is already read and known by all men. His altar is speaking. That means from the place where he is praying from, or from the place where he's ministering from, he does not even need to speak to utter something, but he is already ministering to you. Now that is a written epistle that is written by the Spirit, read, known and read by all men. And he's trying to tell them, look here, we are epistles of Christ. You are an epistle of Christ. I don't know how we think of ourselves. Are we letters that men can read us, that men can understand Christ? Does our how we work, how we speak to people, how we minister to people, how we talk to people, can they clearly say or feel that they are experiencing the love of God or the Christ? Paul says this sufficiency is not from ourselves. If we're to look and to think that we got this power from ourselves, we deceive ourselves. This sufficiency is not of ourselves. So we cannot be proud or we cannot live in pride, but we know that this sufficiency is from God, and he has made us able ministers of the new covenant. We are called to the new covenant. We are called to the covenant of love. We are called to be read by all men. We are called to minister the Spirit, not of ourselves, but of God. You see, the difference between the new and the old covenant is, in the old covenant, it was always about what you do, what you have done. But in the new covenant, it's what Christ has done. Christ has already led us in triumphant procession. Christ has already defeated the devil. Christ has already given us the victory. Christ has already worked out everything, our healing, our destiny, our ministries. Everything is already worked out by Christ. The Bible says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. That means that there are things that God has prepared that we just walk into them. Our job is to look unto Christ, look up to Christ and ask him, God, what is it that you have prepared for me today? What is it that you have prepared for me to accomplish? What is it that you have done Think of how Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he will always say, I don't do anything of my own accord. I only do as my Father does. I only say what my Father has said. I only speak as I hear. In the new covenant, we see what God has done. We hear what he has said. We only preach what he has asked us to preach. We minister out of what he has ministered to us. This is the way where we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God that works it out in us to both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. God is the one that works. God is the one that makes us able ministers. God is the one that ministers in our hearts. God is the one that dispenses that fragrance from our lives. Brothers, sisters, stop ceasing. Cease to work, but labor in what God has already done. Let that grace of God work in you. Be moved to do things. Be moved by the Spirit of God. Don't focus on your own energies, but wait for the stirring of the water. Wait for the movement of the Spirit. When you move with the Spirit, you are empowered. When the winds move and you lift up your wings, then you are lifted and you can do the work of the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word spoken to us today. Lord, you're calling us to the place where we can be led by you, where we can be led in triumphant procession by you, where we can be able ministers, sufficient ministers, read and written and read and understood by all men, not of the letter that kills, but by the Spirit. May our commendation, may everything that we do come from you. May our speech, may our guidance, may everything that we minister be taught by you. And I pray for your servants that they continue to be that fragrance, a fragrance leading to life. And yet to those that are feeling that fragrance of death, may they turn, O God. May they come to the knowledge of the truth. May they know that you died for them, you shed your blood for them, and that you're always willing to cleanse, forgive, and purify, O God. Thank you for your children. Thank you for this day. Minister unto us. Guide us, direct us, protect us, and watch over us. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day ahead.